You ready for some people to say, I told you so, Keith?
I'm ready.
I hear that every day. Every day of my life.
Yeah, it's mostly before I even leave the house.
That's right.
I get that multiple times.
I hear it.
I told you to do the dishes. I told you to do this. Yep. I told you to do that. Yeah. No, that sounds about right. Drake May already maybe hurt. Already certainly dealing with something.
What is going on there?
I don't know. We'll get to it here today on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Lots of talk about Patriots and Jaguars. I thought Andy Hart had a good question yesterday. I was listening driving home. Do you actually want the Patriots to win this game against the Jaguars this weekend, or do you want a higher draft pick? We can get into it, but yeah, Drake May either did or didn't have an MRI yesterday on his knee.
So he
not
was on
shoulder.
The injury report. No, knee.
Yeah.
Knee. So he's on the injury report. He was a full participant.
Yep.
Some of the national reporters are saying there's nothing to see here.
Uh-huh.
I would say, yes, there is. He's the number 3 pick in the draft, just made his first start, and now he is on the injury report. And unless, Jones, it was MRI day down in Foxborough, I don't think you just hand out MRIs to every single guy on the team. You know, like, hey, get in line. Everyone's going to get an MRI today. We're going to see how it goes. Nope, he got one. So even if he's, you know, able to play, it's still something. It's still something worth monitoring. He's the starting quarterback on the team.
This is how I feel about it. It's like, all right, I'm not put him in bubble wrap. You can't play him. But now he's got a knee. How do you get a knee injury? When the hell did that happen? Did it happen in practice?
Practice, maybe.
So that's kind of what I wonder. If it was a shoulder injury, I'd go, oh, we all know what hit it was.
Yeah, you got
crunched. We all saw it when he got creamed. And so that's not what it is. You're right. He was a full participant yesterday. He was on the injury report with a knee injury. You go, okay, that's odd.
I don't like it.
But then
Brady was on an injury report with the right shoulder for about 15 years.
But at a certain point, you go, I don't need to worry about it anymore because he's on it every week.
Yeah, no, this is the first. Maybe this will be his new thing. Maybe Drake May will always be on the injury
every
report
week,
with a knee injury.
Just a chronic knee thing.
Full
okay.
partis.
Ben Volen.
Yeah. He got a DM.
I don't know.
And he rushed to report it.
I'm not sure the sourcing on this.
Okay.
I do know that he stands alone in reporting it.
Okay.
I do know that. But he said,
I'll tell you, my antenna is up.
I'm told Drake May went for an MRI after practice today. Something to watch this week. Now, look, he stands alone on the report. It has not been denied by the team. In fact, Phil Perry was on NBC Sports Boston last night.
Okay.
BST. Here's what he had to say about what he's hearing on Drake May and his knee.
They're not concerned that he is still expected to be playing this coming weekend out in London. And again, we'll see what practice looks like tomorrow. I know Gerard Mayo's talking about transparency at the podium today, but it feels like they're closing ranks on this one to a degree. And so we'll just have to see what it looks like tomorrow with him.
Okay, they're optimistic, but they're closing ranks.
Closing ranks.
And the team has not shouted down like any false reporting or anything. So look, with Volen, I it's fair to say you never know. You never know. But here's what we do know. He's on the injury report. There is something going on. Maybe it was suffered in practice. Maybe it was suffered in the game. I'm with you, Keith. It's worth monitoring. It's not nothing.
Could it be nothing?
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on that.
So even if he plays, you're like, all right, is he going to be as mobile as he was before? Is he going to be thinking about it? Is it whatever? Because if everything's 100%, you're not just giving the guy an MRI, right? So even if... You know, he's already not 100% is how I guess I would look at it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't regret playing him. I'm not saying,
I'm playing him the rest of the season.
Again, he might have suffered it in practice. It might have been independent of the game.
For sure.
And he was practicing either way, whether he was playing in the game or not. So we don't even know when it was suffered. It's not a regret for playing him, but I am like, okay, how's it going to impact him? How does it impact the team? Because it is a very, very, very winnable game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Despite the big spread. Despite the sneaky big spread, 5.5.
Is it still 5.5? It hasn't moved.
Five and a half.
Still.
That's a decent number.
Still 5.5.
I know Jacksonville is a home team over there. They have second homes in London. They love it over there. But yeah, no, I think it's a very winnable game. And this is just sort of the latest in, you know, what is going on with the Patriots this season. And so hopefully all these other reports are true, that it's kind of precautionary and nothing to see here and all of that. But I don't know, one start into it and we're already kind of, you know, monitoring the guy's knee. Nah, not the best.
No, I would say that's certainly not ideal. It doesn't seem like anybody's overly concerned, but it doesn't mean it's not anything. It doesn't mean there's nothing going on, and we'll see if it impacts him in any way on Sunday. So are you concerned? Is it time for a victory lap of I told you so? You can't play the kid. You're going to break him. Don't put him out there behind that offensive line. We'll listen to that at 617-779-7937. You can text the show at 37937.
Also, the whole team is on the injury report.
That's true. There were, how many names was it yesterday? It was a lot.
I mean, oh my God, I can't even count them all. 20 maybe? It's an insane. Three guys didn't practice.
And he was one of like four or five full participants,
yep,
right?
Five full participants, including friend of the show, Kendrick Bourne.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was like, what, 10 limiteds? Like, there's a lot of guys on the injury report.
Okay, and it makes sense. You know, you're talking about a team that got physically beaten up last week by Houston, so it makes sense. You said it early in the week, Keith. You're like, if there was a team that you thought would be coached by a middle linebacker, it is the Houston Texans because
DeMeco
Ryans had people smacking people around. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can interact with the show at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Watch along and chat on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, and on YouTube. You can subscribe at WEEI. Do you want the Patriots to win this game? I thought it was an interesting question by Andy Hart. He wants them to tank at the number one pick, get the best pick possible, and then do with that what you will. Maybe you pick at one. Maybe you trade back. Now you're in a position of power going into next year to get the team right around Drake May. I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but do you want them to win the game? Do you think there's value in winning games like Sunday against the Jaguars with Drake May out there?
I want them to win, you know, and I'm pro tank, right? I'm pro tank when it came to Bath. Didn't work out for them, but when they were going for Kevin Durant or Greg Oden, when they were going for Andrew Wiggins or Jabari Parker, hell, when they're going back to Tim Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
A young Rich
Keefe
famously
days.
Remembers
yes,
them.
Yes, yes,
you know,
yes, yes.
You
yes.
get Tim Duncan in the draft, you tank your tail off. So I'm pro tank. Even last year, it got to a point where I was for sure was all about the tank. You know, I wanted Chad Ryland to miss that field goal against Denver. I wanted a high draft pick. But again, there's also when there's that golden ticket, I feel like it's a little bit different. So last year, you wanted one of these top three quarterbacks.
Yep.
You ended up getting one of them, but it was out of your hands. You got the one that was remaining there. In other drafts, like we said with basketball, it was specific players. It wasn't just the number one pick. Like last year in the NBA, you
want Wembanyama. You want LeBron. You want you want a player like that.
You want one of those guys.
In the right year, well-timed out tank.
And I think in football, it's mainly for the quarterback. The Colts did it for Andrew Luck. I would say overall it worked. No Super Bowl, but it worked. He was a really good quarterback
for a
while.
They were in the playoffs in year one.
Yeah. So I think that's the year and the time to do it. It's also too early. Like, if we get down to the final four games of the year, that final month of the season, and you're looking at it, and we're on tankathon, and you're like, all right, they could be in a position to trade down to get a million picks or just take Travis Hunter if they just lose these next two. Then you know what? I'm all on board with that.
Oh, I'm 100% on board with that.
But week seven, mix in some wins. Grab a win if you can. I don't think there's going to be a lot of them. I think they can try their asses off all season, and they could still potentially lose out. But I think for a guy like Drake May, it's not just about like the physical hits that he takes. Like, is that a great thing for him to just go in there and go like 0-11 as a starter?
No.
Probably not. So I want them to win. It's too early in the season for me to be rooting against the team. I'm rooting for the team.
Same. And here's the thing. There's only so many winnable games on the schedule,
right?
Yeah, okay, let's go through it. They have Jacksonville this week. That's a winnable game.
Winnable.
Doesn't mean they're going to win.
No, this is a different exercise.
Winnable.
It's not win or lose. It's winnable or losable.
Okay.
Winnable.
Are the Jets winnable?
No.
Okay.
They just got blitzed by
them,
and they just got Adams.
Fine.
They got smoked by them. They got blown out.
Yeah, the Jets are a two-win team, but fine.
Yeah, one of those wins against you.
At Tennessee.
Winnable.
Okay, I agree. At Chicago.
Less winnable now.
Less winnable from when the season started.
Yeah,
I'm more concerned about that.
Less winnable.
How about at home against the Rams on the 17th?
Oh, November? Winnable.
Very winnable.
Winnable.
Game.
Rams suck.
At Miami, Tua back.
Yeah, so I would say Tua dependent.
Yeah, I mean, they already
lost. If Tua's playing, then no.
They already lost at home to Tyler Huntley. I don't feel like that's
close
a super
game,
winnable
though.
Game was.
Jalen Polk gets his little tootsies in.
How about the Colts at home before the bye on December 1st?
Yeah,
winnable
Colts
game.
Colts is winnable.
Okay, then they have at Arizona. Winnable?
Yeah.
At Buffalo, Chargers, Buffalo. I'm not sure those.
No.
So we're talking three, four, five winnable games left on the schedule.
Yeah.
Winnable. That doesn't mean they're going to win them all.
Yeah, you might as well go for it.
I want them to win those winnable games. If they lose to Buffalo.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're non-competitive and they get smoked and Drake May throws four picks, well, then we'll criticize
if
that.
If they win two more games, they could still get the number one pick.
They could.
Yeah.
So, but I want them to be competitive in the games where they're outclassed. Houston, I don't know that they were quite competitive. It was Drake May's first start. I'm willing to give them more leeway. But like some of those Buffalo games late in the year, I want to see them be competitive. I don't expect them to win. They need to win some of these winnable games. They do. And Jacksonville would be a great one. So yeah, I am rooting for them to win this game this weekend. If it were Jacoby Brissett, I got to be honest, I probably wouldn't really even care.
No,
but, I mean, with Drake May, I want them to win.
I want them to win too, but I think the most important thing still to me is just Drake May plays well, and Drake May continues to develop, and some of those receivers play well.
So let me present this to you.
You could thread the needle and win, you know, lose 27-24.
Okay, let me ask you. What would you rather? You'd rather they win, but Drake May plays poorly, or they lose, Drake May plays well?
Oh, Drake May plays well. Yeah. The most important thing is Drake May plays well. Now, if he plays really well, usually that translates to a win.
Right.
But I don't want him to have no touchdowns, two picks. They run it really well and win on defense. That doesn't help me with Drake May.
I still want that.
Oh, see,
I still want that win because Drake May can take a step back and there's still some overall growth. Like, we don't expect every game out of him to be great.
I don't, no. But I'm saying, like, if in that scenario, I would rather him, you know, 275 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, and they get, I mean, this isn't a great example. I don't think they get out-dueled by Jacksonville. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
in some
lose.
Of these games going forward, like, if it's a good fought game and he plays well and you can see him getting better. Because so say you get to 2025 and the record is whatever it is, and you're like, Drake May had a lot of bad games, but like the defense turned around. I'd be like, no, I still need the quarterback to be the
better
guy. I
don't want a lot of bad games, but like I think there might be something to the locker room where you win with Drake May even if he doesn't play great. There might be something
to
that.
Well, I don't want to win like Tim Tebow.
No, I don't want to do that every week, but I'm saying I think this team could use a win is my point. I think this week this team could really use – if you want the team long-term to buy in on Drake May, the team could use a win. If they're losing to Jacksonville, there might be a lot of guys looking around the locker room like, all right, we have a talented kid, but where are we going? What are we doing? Like, you could get some real buy-in with Drake May by winning the game. So, obviously, I want him to play well and them to win. I think there's more value in the win than even his level of play.
I guess it probably depends on what it looks like. You know, like, in the fourth quarter, is it just they win on defense and special teams, and he kind of, like, they win in spite of them? Then I don't want that. Like, that's not for me. I want him to be the reason why they win. So, you know, conflicting in the chat. So in the Twitch chat, Free Mandela saying last week was perfect, meaning Drake May scored some points, but they lost the game. You saw some flashes. You feel good about Drake May. Slim Jim's basically saying, what are you talking about? He had two picks and a fumble and only one touchdown before garbage time, which I don't.
So let me tell you,
I don't like that.
I'm fine with Drake May's debut. I was encouraged by it. But I wouldn't. Perfect is not the right word because if they're losing by 20 points every week,
no, that's not perfect.
No, that's not perfect at all.
It's three turnovers,
right?
Yeah, we looked the other way for his debut, but he can't turn it over two times every
week. I agree. Like he exceeded my expectations and played better than I thought for his first start against that team.
Yes,
but now you're playing Jacksonville.
No,
or
that's
you're playing
the Colts. Play for a while.
Right? No. Like to me, that needs to get better. That was not a perfect scenario. That was fine for his first start. But that needs to get better. Fewer turnovers, more competitive games, and some wins. I mean, that should be the goal. It's not acceptable to lose every game with Drake May. It's just not. Like, they need to beat Jacksonville, beat Tennessee, beat teams like that. Indy's another one. We just went through it. If they don't beat Buffalo, I'm not going to crush him.
It's also,
they didn't beat Houston, I'm not going to crush him.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's different.
It's also really hard to go 0-12 or whatever he would end up going. Like, look around the history of the league. How many winless teams have there been? How many quarterbacks that have started over 10 games in a season have gone winless? Like, that would be a really small list, I would imagine.
Goff, his rookie year was winless, I believe, but I don't think it was that many games.
I think it might have been six. I can double check. And that was, that was a mess.
And then you're hoping
led to a coaching firing and everything else.
And you're hoping he's better than Goff.
Oh, definitely better than Goff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went 0-7 as a starter. So, I mean, that's a lot. Then the next year he went 11-4. Something changed. I'm trying to think what changed there.
A little different coaching, a little different play calling.
New coaching.
A little more talent.
No, I mean, that would be tough. And I think that would be tough for him, too. Like, even if he's playing well, like, you heard him after the first game. He had all the right answers where he was like, I didn't feel great about the game because we lost. It's all about wins. And so if it's next week he's saying the same thing, the week after that he's saying the same thing, the week after that he's saying the same thing, like that could be pretty taxing. Everybody's worried about him getting like smashed into the turf. What about going 0-11 or 0-12 as a starter? Like that'd be pretty rough.
Yeah, I would not feel good about that. No matter how he looks, I wouldn't feel good about that. So do you want him to win this weekend? Good question by Andy Hart, 617-779-7937. Are you tanking just to get the best pick? Is there value in getting a better draft pick and then figuring it out? Like the Rams did. You know, they made a coaching change and they made a lot of other changes, but is there value in just being terrible and then figuring it all out next year? I don't think so. I think there are wins they need to grab down the stretch. So you can jump in on that. You can also weigh in on Drake May his MRI. Did it actually happen? We know he's got a knee injury going on. How concerned are you about that?
Yikes.
Do you have a minimum threshold, Keith, of wins? I know we all want May to play well, and it's all about May's development. Do you have a minimum threshold of wins where you'd feel good going into next year? Or is it really all about May?
No. I don't think it comes down to wins and losses, because they can all look different.
They win two games, meaning one more game all year long, and you'll feel good about that if May looks good.
I could, yes, because I think just look at this season and this stretch. These five losses have all been very different losses.
Yeah.
Like, if you have more Seattle and even Houston losses as compared to New York, San Francisco, which were super lopsided, or just how ugly the Miami game was, right? Like, they all count as a loss in the standings, but how we felt about it the next day was so dramatically different.
Correct.
That, yeah, no, it would, I mean, if you go 1-16, that's insane. Like, that's brutal. It's almost hard to do. But no, if they have two wins versus six wins, I'm still going to be really focused on Drake May. Did they develop Jalen Polk? Did Pop Douglas continue where he started from, you know, this past week? I'll be more concerned about that, because we've seen teams before. Like, your Rams one's a good example. Like, horrible rookie year Jared Goff, horrible last year of Jeff Fisher. Boom, the very next year they were great. Like, the very next year they're in the playoffs and they're really good. So the NFL, that there's so many examples of that, worst to first, first to worst, like teams having these dramatic turnarounds, that I wouldn't, there's not like a win total in my mind.
Okay.
Do you have a number?
Yeah, I mean, I had six before the year. I also thought when they were doing that, Drake May was going to get in earlier than he did.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who felt he wouldn't play late in the year. I thought for sure he'd be in by the Miami game, which is only 1 week.
So put it in the,
I thought there was a chance he was starting week
then.
One or two. Yeah.
So 12 games, he's already 0-1.
Four wins? Three, four
so
wins?
So can Drake May go 4-8?
Can he go 3-9, 4-8, something like that? I would, and he needs to be playing well, and the games need to be competitive. Like, there's a lot of layers to it.
If they go 3-9, I think they're going to nail my under.
That's true. You're under 4.5. Yeah. I had him at 6 wins before the year. He got in a little later. Maybe I'll move that to 5. I'd like him to go 4-8 from here on out. Like,
yeah.
And again, I want him to play well. There's other stipulations to it, but just boiling it down to a win total, that would feel like they were on to something.
I also think it's important for Jerod Mayo. I mean, this is, we're talking
100%,
about May, but maybe even more so for Mayo. Like, his first year, and we, you know, kind of joke about when he told the morning show that they're definitely going to win more than four games. And you're like, you sure about that? Sure about that? That's why. So I think for him, I mean, like, Drake May's development is paramount, but for Jerod Mayo, there's a big difference. I would say way more of a difference for him in the offseason than for Drake May. Because Drake May can be like, I didn't play my first five games, you know, and you know, then I got thrown in there, bad offensive line, blah, 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 blah. Whereas Jerod Mayo says, Art, you took over a four-win team. So bar's low.
Yep.
And you won three games?
Yeah, you took a step backwards.
You got worse.
And you got better at quarterback?
Yeah, so
I think
red flag all over the place for Jerod Mayo, Elliot Wolf, Alex Van Pelt, like all those guys. The win total matters. Yeah, that's how I would answer. The win total matters for the coaches more.
Yeah.
Some sort of respectable number, whereas a guy like Drake May and some of the other young players on the team, just for me, just get better.
617-779-7937. Do you want the Patriots to win this game? Or is it better or more beneficial for them to lose? You want them to win games down the stretch. You have a win total in mind that they need to check off. We can get into all of that, plus the latest on the injury to Drake May. A bit of a source off, if you will. Where one guy has a source on an MRI and no one else does. I will continue to follow that throughout the course of the day. Keith, you want to play a little game coming up next?
I love games.
How about a Patriots blame game? Not a blame pie,
no,
necessarily.
No, I don't even care for pie.
Let's go through a few different areas on the Patriots where they're having issues. Who do we blame on the team for each specific area?
Who is this versus?
Let's make it versus.
Yes.
Let's really assign some blame.
I'm in.
The common denominator is just a lack of focus. You know, when we're in the middle of the season now, and to have a penalty on the first play of the game is just unacceptable. And so it's a lack of focus. Well, you know, there will be changes for this game. And so my message to the coaches and the players, really, we want our most dependable players out there that we can really count on. If you're going to, you know, pre-snap, post-snap penalties, we can't live that way. So I guess to answer your question is the personnel part of it, like a wake-up call.
Jerod Mayo promises changes in the starting lineup.
Yeah, well, they've had changes every week on the offensive line.
It's true.
They've had a different starting combination up front every week.
I don't think that was about the offensive line.
No, I don't either, but I'm just saying you've had a different starting lineup every week anyway.
Yeah, they've tried lots of changes.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see if they can change it up in the win column this week against Jacksonville. Do you want them to win the game? How concerned are you about Drake May? You can jump in at 617-779-7937. We'll get to our Patriots blame game here in a moment, but Ted's in the car on Drake May's knee. Go ahead, Ted.
I think Ted's doing a show somewhere else.
Ted's got some company. Hello, Ted?
Hello.
Okay.
Ted.
Ted's got something going on with the Drake May MRI.
What the hell was that, Ted?
Do you think we get an update on whether or not there was an MRI today? Have I missed anything this morning? Has there been any movement? A denial?
No.
Does Volan add to his reporting?
We can ask Dietrich Wise. I'm sure he'll let us know.
I'm sure he'll be very forthcoming.
First question
with that
for you, Dietrich. Oh, Blake, did you get an MRI? He's like, what?
But again, you know.
Yeah, that's a no.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I mean, that's actually a very useful answer,
fair
Dietrich,
enough.
Actually.
I mean, whether he got an MRI
told
or not.
He went for an MRI after practice, something to watch. No one else has said anything about it. He hasn't followed up on that.
True.
I agree with you, Keith. Something's going on with his knee. Did he get an MRI? It's a specific report from
that's a no.
A reporter with a specific track record is what I would
true.
Say. Yeah.
True. Not everybody's 100% like Scoops. Scoops, Keith.
No, right? That's a good point.
So that's fair. But no, I mean, he's on the report. So whether he got one or not, there is something up with the knee.
Yes, I agree with that.
Even if it's precautionary or even like the fact that they even put it on there, they were truthful enough to be like, all right, he was a full participant.
I'm rooting for it that it happened in practice and not in that game. That's what I'm officially rooting for. If there's something going on with his knee, I'm hoping it happened on the practice
field.
And
we won't know. Yesterday was the first practice, so we don't know if like going. It's not like he wasn't on the report. Like, say he wasn't on the report yesterday, then he was on the report today. Then it's sort of confirmed that
a downgrade
it's a
would be practice.
Now we don't really know. So that's all. We'll wait and see this afternoon what it says. I bet it's similar, you know, and then
I would imagine.
Then we'll go from there. But yeah, maybe they'll come out and say it. I'm sure Mayo talks next tomorrow.
I think tomorrow. All yeah, right. I believe Van Pelt talks today, though. So maybe you get something there.
Maybe.
Probably not.
No. Again, God, no. Van Pelt's not going to say anything.
Definitely Dietrich Wise will fill
that's an odd question.
Jeremy Springer with us tomorrow, mate.
Yep. Maybe.
He might let the cat out of the
bag. Maybe he'll clue us in a little bit. 617-779-7937, so you can jump in there on Jones and Keefe. Do you want the Patriots to win this weekend? How concerned are you about Drake May? Let's play the Pat's blame game.
Pat's blame
today,
game.
Keith.
Here we go. Line it up.
So
they're 1-5.
I actually do want to play a game.
Jigsaw?
Yeah.
Glad
you
asked.
So,
did you watch all the Saws last night, Nick? Did you rip through all the Saws?
No, I did not. I watched the first one, though, because it was recommended. So
it
I
was.
Watch
it was the Dork podcast
it was,
horror
it was
movie,
the
of the day.
Movie of the day.
Yeah, Dorktober recommendation.
You stopped at one, though. You didn't watch the other nine?
One I like. I don't like the other nine.
All right. Only so many hours in the day.
Jesus, man.
What can you do there? So our first area where we're going to assign blame is the lack of star players on the roster.
All right. So this, you might disagree with me. I'm going to put this one on Bill Belichick.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm with you overall on the, hey, can we stop blaming Bill for everything? I think it's kind of low-hanging fruit. It's also time to move on. But for this specific question, they don't have a lot of star power. We talked about the beginning of the season, the old jersey test. You go into a store, it's Drake May, who you just drafted, and maybe like a Ramondre.
Okay.
Right? So they have nobody in the NFL's top 100.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is more sort of years of bad drafts or subpar drafts kind of catching up to you at this moment. And so, it's Elliott Wolf's job now to improve the team, to hit on draft picks, to hit in free agency. But it's what he had one offseason to do it. He inherited a lot of players. Yes, he re-signed a bunch of them. But I think the overall lack of star power to me is on Bill.
Okay, I want to put it on Kraft.
Ooh,
I want to put it on spending and the lack of spending. So I want to put it on Kraft. You want to put it on Belichick. Billy, break the tie. Who are we officially assigning that blame to? The lack
Bill?
Of star powers, star power on the team. Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft? Who do we assign the blame to?
Kraft.
Okay, Kraft. Boom. That's our answer.
Nick, you break that tie.
Good, because I was going to say Bill.
Oh, it's even up again. Okay. Oh, now the whole tarp, get in here. No, Billy's the tiebreaker.
Twitch chat, break the tie.
Okay. That's fine. Kraft's fine. That would have been a close second for me anyway.
Lack of star players is on Robert Kraft. How about the poor offense? Who are we blaming for that?
I'm going to put the poor offense on my guy, AVP. I'm putting it on AVP.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they could do more. I don't think he has enough talent, and that could go to a number of different – that could go to Kraft, that could go to Elliott Wolf, that could go to Bill Belichick even. But I think the offense should be better than what it is. Like, I think it's obviously a bad offensive line and things like that, but are they dead last, second to last in score. I think you can do better than what you've done thus far. And I also put it on AVP because Drake May improves things. You saw it in 1 week. And I also hold him accountable for one of the reasons why we slow played Drake May. So I have the number one reason why the offense is in the state that it's in on Alex Van Pelt.
You know what? I was going to make a case for Elliott Wolf, but
I swayed you.
I like your answer. I've been swayed.
I'm a good
Alex
debater.
Van Pelt, and
some would say I'm a master.
Well, I mean, I won over Billy on the craft debate earlier, but
yeah. Well,
I think we're going to agree on this next one.
Line, I think Jones.
I think we're going to agree on this next one. The offensive line. Who we blame for that? Ready?
Scott Peters.
One. Two, three,
Elliott Wolf.
Yeah,
Elliott Wolf is probably the only one you can really blame for that.
Sorry, guy. Yeah. You get blamed for the offensive line. So we're three stops in. We got star players, put that on Kraft.
Yep.
Offense, put that on Alex Van Pelt. Offensive line, put that on Elliott Wolf and the Wolfpack.
It's a dead heat.
It's a dead heat so far. Let's go to the subpar defense. Who are we blaming for that?
Yeah, because this was supposed to be what they could hang their hat on, right? They were supposed to be a good defense, top 10 defense. I think Mina Kimes said they were going to be a top 5 defense.
She did, yeah.
Going into the year. Now, I know Christian Barmore is not playing. He had a run-in with the law yesterday. Mm-hmm. But he's not playing. That's a factor. They lost Jawan Bentley. But I'm saying a lot of things right now. I will answer your question now. Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo is the guy. He is whether he was the D coordinator or not in title last year, that's where all of his experience is. That's where he played. He is now the head coach. You would think you would at least have your side of the ball set and ready to go. So I would say Gerard Mayo for the defense.
I think it's absolutely Gerard Mayo for the defense. Some of that you could go to, you know, Wolf and Kraft and even Belichick if you want to go higher than that. But it's a lot of the same guys from a year ago. They were all brought back. Mayo's getting less out of them. Even with some injuries, they dealt with injuries last year too.
Yep.
Mayo is the proper.
Because they have more talent on defense, right? Like the few picks that Bill left them feels like were, I guess, Ramondre. But would be like Christian Gonzalez, Keon White. So, like, you have a little something on defense. Some of those safeties are pretty good. But, yeah, it's been not up to snuff.
I think we might double dip here. If the blame for the defense is on Gerard Mayo, who's the blame for the lack of on-field discipline?
Yeah, I mean, all the penalties they've had, and those have been across the board. Those have been offense, defense, special teams. Like, right off the rip in 2 of the 6 games, they had a penalty before there was even a play in the game. So, that, to me, goes to the head coach. You know, you got to have that stuff figured out, because I think if we're being fair, if you went around the league and they played a team, or you were watching a game on Sunday and the team was completely undisciplined and there's flags everywhere, I don't think you're going through and blaming each position coach, even though they have a say in it. I think it has to be the head coach.
So to me, that's also Gerard Mayo for the lack of on-field discipline. You're getting penalized.
Mm-hmm.
You have breakdowns on the field. Some of that's on the players if you want to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it's a consistent theme week after week after week, you're poorly disciplined. That's on the head coach. How about the off-field discipline?
So far, and I'm not comparing these as like they're all the same. Some are obviously much worse than others, but the ones that jump out thus far would be Jabril Peppers, Christian Barmore, Javon Baker, I guess, to a lesser degree.
Yeah, if you want to add that
Anything else that from this season's team that is out there right now?
I don't think so. Let me keep thinking about it, but I don't think so.
So this is kind of a weaselly answer, but I think it's just on the players. Like, there's 53 guys.
Well, who brought in those players? Mostly. Bill.
Bill brought... No, not Baker.
Not Baker, but I'm saying...
Oh, but Barmore and Peppers?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, you know, what was Javon Baker? A dust-up, ask him to move his car along?
Like, no, that wasn't a big deal. So he, to me, wasn't like in trouble at all, but it was the fact that he went to Instagram Live and like made it a bigger deal. Like, if that just happened, he'd be like, who cares? But like, he brought it out there to the public.
But even like, okay, even if you want to go like, if you want to play the social media game.
Yeah.
Jalen Reagor, Tyquan Thornton, those are all Bill guys. Like, I think I'm going to hold Bill for this.
It really?
Yeah.
I just think in the modern sport or modern times, every team has guys that are knuckleheads and get in trouble with stuff.
Break the tie. Who are we putting this on, Bill, or
just the players?
Off the field, their issues. Is it the players' fault? Is it Bill's fault?
Players.
Okay.
Yes.
Players. I lose that one.
That's on them. Because I also think, like, when Bill was here, there was a lot of issues, which I guess will go to your point, but they go like Kansas City, all the issues they have. That's Andy Reid, we think, is the best coach in the league right now. I think it's so hard to...
Yeah, but isn't that on Reid?
I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But they're also really good, so it's not like holding them back.
No, it's not holding them back. But like all the guys running around off the field, Reed brought them all in. It's on Reed.
But like every team, I think, has guys running around.
Not, but some teams are worse than others. Not every team is as bad as the Chiefs.
Some teams might just be better at covering it up.
Fair point. So there you go. How about the issues with the coaching staff? Are we blaming for that?
Kraft. I'm going to blame Kraft for this for a couple of reasons. One, there was no head coach search. He picked the replacement for Bill Belichick 5 years ago. It happened to be Gerard Mayo, and that I think the jury's still out on if that's a good one. Also, I believe all the reports that they don't love paying their coaching staff a lot of money. They paid Bill a lot of money, obviously, but coordinators, position coaches. So if you want Nick Caley and you can't get Nick Caley, or you want, you know, one of the first 11 guys that you interviewed for offensive coordinator, but either they don't want the job or you don't want to pay him enough money to give him the job, that's when you get stuck with an Alex Van Pelt, who I don't think Gerard Mayo hired. Elliot Wolf was probably like, sure, we'll take him because I know him, but I don't know. I can't imagine that was Elliot Wolf's first choice based on the hiring order. So this, to me, goes all the way to the top. This would be a Kraft thing.
Yeah, I don't think they pay a lot for their coaching staff, even with reports that they were offering a lot of money to Nick Caley and guys like this to bring them in. I don't think they pay a lot for the coaching staff. You're 1,000% right. Gerard Mayo was hired however many years ago on the trip to Israel. Doesn't look like a good head coaching hire. That's on the owner. That's on Robert Kraft. Here's another one that I don't even know who else we would put this on. The big giant lighthouse down there. Who do you blame for that?
Man, I'd probably put that one on Robert Kraft. You know, that is now their calling card. That is now their thing. Like, hey, we have this giant lighthouse. Like, I liked it better when they had a great team.
Yeah, seriously.
I was a big fan of them winning Super Bowls every year.
I liked it when the lighthouse was smaller.
Yes, small lighthouse.
You know what?
Not a big lighthouse guy.
No. I'm not. Look.
It's how you use your lighthouse.
Smaller lighthouse if you know what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, from what I've heard.
If you've been around the block a time or two.
You understand what you're doing there? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You don't need to be like, oh, look at the size of this lighthouse. It's ridiculous.
Do you like the pirate ship in Tampa? I always like that. I feel like that's a little more functional, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like a pirate ship and a buccaneer are much more synonymous than a patriot or a lighthouse.
Yeah, correct. That's a good point. Hadn't thought about it that way.
You know what I mean?
Well, one if by land, two if by sea. There's some light going on. Not a lighthouse, I guess.
No, you got me.
That's true.
Yeah, you might be right.
Okay, lighthouse will blame Kraft.
Do you think they should have more horses? The Patriots. Wouldn't they ride horses? Or no?
Well, I think they did a lot on foot.
Yeah, probably.
Paul Revere was riding around on horses, though, to your point.
Yeah. Needed him to.
Loss of relevance.
This one's probably on Kraft as well.
I think so, too. He's getting a lot of blame all of a sudden, but I think it's right.
And obviously, you know, by loss of relevance, we're talking about they're just not on primetime anymore. They're not a team that is must-watch around the league. Like, we're talking to people that watch them every weekend. We watch them every weekend, obviously. Like, that, you're going to have to get a lot worse for that to happen. But just overall, this goes back to the star power thing. But just, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you have Tom Brady, you have Bill Belichick, and then now you started the year with Gerard Mayo, Jacoby Brissett. So it's a big, big difference. So maybe Drake May, like, that's why Drake May is so pivotal to all of this. Like, he could fix half of these things if he's really good.
No, true.
But right now, I think that one has to go on Kraft. You can't put that on anybody else.
No, they're not relevant. I would put that on Kraft. I guess, in a way, you could put it on Bill. Bill's the one shoving Brady out the door. But Kraft could have saved it, and he didn't. How about they don't wear their throwbacks enough, Keith? Because those things look good on Sunday.
This might be Roger Goodell. Is that a Roger Goodell problem?
You want to put Goodell on that one?
Yeah, I would put Goodell maybe on that. Because I don't think it's up to Kraft necessarily. I bet the league has some stupid rule where they're like, but like, you got to wear the regular ones.
Yes, and no. I mean, other teams have been wearing throwbacks in years past, and they never wear these things.
But they don't. But I mean, for this year, they're wearing them twice.
Yep.
I don't think the other
teams
gone?
Who's gone this year?
Who's gone? Bill. Oh, you're putting this on Bill.
Well, I just wonder. I mean, Bill leaves and all of a sudden the throwbacks are back.
It's true. Gonzalez couldn't wear zero without when Bill was here. Oh, let's put it on Bill.
Put it on Bill.
Put it on Bill.
Let's put that one on Bill.
That's a good one.
In your face, Bill.
Yeah.
So we put the lack of star players on Robert Kraft. The offensive issues on Alex Van Pelt. O-line issues are on Elliot Wolf. The defense is on Mayo. On-field discipline also on Mayo. The discipline off the field we're putting on the players generically. Mm-hmm. The issue with the coaching staff, Robert Kraft, the lighthouse, which we don't like, Robert Kraft, their relevance, Robert Kraft, and we'll put the lack of throwback unis on Bill Belichick.
Robert Kraft, 40% Kraft.
Robert Kraft is the runaway loser in the blame game.
It's like Kraft.
Gerard Mayo's the runner-up.
Mayo, Yeah, he's the runner-up. And then it's pretty equally split between Wolf, Van Pelt, and Belichick.
I guess here would be the point in the lesson. Robert Kraft can blame Bill for a lot, but I think a little bit more of the blame is on him than he realizes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more of the blame
yep.
is on him than he realizes, despite stabbing Bill in the back every chance he gets. 617-779-7937. How do you assign blame to the Patriots? And speaking of the lack of off-field discipline, more fallout from Christian Barmore. Let's get to it next.
There was a police report filed to do with Christian Barmore in the province. Are you guys aware of the situation? Have you addressed it?
Yeah, we're aware of the situation. I had a conversation with him this morning. But, you know, like I said, at least for this time here with you guys, I just want to kind of focus on Jacksonville.
I was Sherrod Mayo yesterday with the media in Foxborough. He got 20% of the blame in our blame game.
That's it.
The Twitch chat pointed out, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Maybe it was more of like a report card, a blame report card for the Patriots.
A little bit.
A bit of that.
Yeah, sure.
But Jerod Mayo, we gave him two areas of criticism, not the off-field discipline, but the, well, the way they've looked defensively and some of the on-field discipline for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We've assigned to Jerod Mayo. A whole bunch went to Robert Kraft, probably more than he realizes. The lack of star players, the issues on the coaching staff, the stupid lighthouse.
Yeah.
And also their lack of being relevant are on Robert Kraft. You can check that out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. We'll post that on YouTube so you can check it out. You can play along. Patriots blame game. We'll circle back to that later on in the show as well with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. Christian Barmore, we talked about this yesterday, Keith, as we were getting some of the details from the police report. Body cam footage is out as well. You watch this?
Yeah.
The let's just listen to that. Can we listen to a little snippet of it, Nick? This is courtesy of Fox 25 in Boston. Some of the body cam footage. I know other outlets have had it as well. This is where I saw this.
Oh, y'all touch me. Y'all crazy. I ain't
get out of the
car. He's on blessed in
it. Talk me. I dare y'all touch me.
Okay, so that's Christian Barmore
yeah.
with the Providence Police.
A lot of salty language.
So here's what I'll say. I mean, again, what preceded that? I saw some of it in the body cam footage. You know, where is he driving around? What are his plates? What's in the car? Like, I don't know whose side you want to take on that. I'm not really interested in that. But it's just, as we said yesterday, another headache. And then you get the body cam footage, and you're like, it's just another bad look for the organization. It's just like, this is another thing you got to deal with, and now we all see it, and... You know, you just, it doesn't come across the way I'm sure they want it to come across for this organization.
No. Well, then he also goes to Twitter and he's saying how he just dealt with all this racism.
So,
and then that tweet was up for a while, but then now it's
down.
Did
he delete it?
It's down.
Okay, because I had seen people saying it was deleted, but then I saw it still active. So I wasn't sure he actually deleted it. If you go to the timeline right now, it's gone.
Yes. So yesterday when we were talking about it on the show, it was still up. So that had been 12 hours, whatever it was, at least that it was still up. And then obviously my guess is, I shouldn't say obviously, my guess is Mayo or somebody in the organization was like, why don't you take that down?
Yeah. And
especially now that the footage is out and people can see it.
Yeah. And it's just, Jabril Peppers is a guy you committed to this offseason.
Yep.
Christian Barmore is a guy you committed to this offseason.
The biggest contract on the team, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Mean, probably, yeah. I would think it him or Onwenu.
Oh, maybe Onwenu. But yeah, Barmore's up there.
You know, like, these are guys you just committed to. And already you're dealing with this. And again, it's not like it didn't happen under Bill. It's not a commentary for me on Jerod Mayo. We're not blaming him for the off-field discipline or lack thereof. But it is another thing you got to deal with in a crappy season. And... it's just another indication of how far they've fallen. Like, just look at where they're a bad team with off-field incidents, it seems, week after week after week.
And who knew just how topical this story was going to be? Because yesterday during Kiefer Madness, we were talking about how 25% of Gen Z bring their parents to job interviews.
Yep.
So as soon as he gets pulled over, he calls his mom. That's what he did.
Yeah.
So that was his first move.
He called.
Well, he screamed at the police officers first, and then he called
then
his mom.
Then he called his mom.
Yeah.
And he needed a ride away from the site.
Probably.
No, I mean, his car was taken and towed off.
And
he was
that.
Allowed to leave the scene.
Right.
And he left the site.
Yep.
But yeah, he called his mom.
Called his mom.
Hey, mom.
Got him out of a jam.
Here's
maybe.
What's going on.
Yeah.
And he's got to be Gen Z, right? He's not 27 years old.
Oh, no, he's a young guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, young guy.
I don't know if that's why he dropped a little bit in the draft. Maybe his mom showed up at the combine.
Yeah, it could be.
Sat there.
25 and, years old?
Yeah, oh, definitely Gen Z.
Right smack in the middle there. Good for him.
So just another indication of where the organization is at and they're a mess. I don't think you take any one snap. Like, Christian Barmore by itself isn't an indication they're a mess.
No, but they just keep adding up.
You couple it with on the field, and it seems like you're getting another one of these every week or every other week, and it is an indication of where they're at. And they are now, like, a laughingstock joke franchise again, and the only hope is the quarterback they took at three. Like, it's just every time you turn around, there's a reminder of that.
Well, right, not only that, but it's just, like, more and more pressure on Drake May. Like, hey, you got to overcome 100%. All of this stuff.
100%.
Like, everything. Like, the way the team plays on the field, the way the team is perceived off the field, like, everything about it is you. And there's always pressure with any quarterback, and some of them live up to it, and most of them don't. But, yeah, just add another thing for Drake May.
Okay, and add another thing for the Patriots in what feels like very much a long, long season. We asked you earlier today, do you care if they win this game? We'll piggyback off a conversation Andy Hart was having yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. Do you care? Do you want them to win the game? Or is there value in losing and tanking and going to the top of the draft? Because this weekend is, whether they win or not, a winnable game. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. You can also go right on the Odyssey app, Keith.
That's right.
Go to the WEEI page.
Yep.
There's a microphone there.
Yep.
And we're calling it the Whiner app.
It's not the Whiner line.
Definitely not the Whiner line.
No.
The Whiner app. You can click right on that little microphone, and you can leave us a voicemail. Maybe you don't want to wait in line
on
the phones. Maybe you don't want to, as we like to say, you know, spar with Keith and I, because as Keith says, you know how that's going to go.
Not great for you.
You want to leave a one-sided message to us or the station. You get right on the Odyssey app. There's a little microphone there. Billy and Nick can comb through it. Maybe we'll play those back in Grab Bag. Maybe
it's a
good place to do that. You could feature those in the grab bag. So leave those there along with your phone calls and your text, 37937. Of course, the Twitch chat as well, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Patriots off-field issues, we're putting that on the players. We're not putting that on anyone else. We played the Patriots blame game earlier today. Patriots blame report card, if you prefer that. We got Dietrich Wise of the Patriots here early with the Patriots going to London in advance of Patriots Friday tomorrow. We'll also get into Jalen Polk. He's responded
confident
to criticism.
He's a confident
from
guy.
Gerard Mayo, that whole wide receiver room,
Sure
as
is.
You pointed out, Keith, very, very confident. Let's get into that next.